thing I say, just give me a wave. So you have to excuse me for sitting down. I've all of a sudden developed a little bit of sciatica, I think. So I've been speaking to the doctor, but she tells me I just need to go and see the doctor. So I have an appointment next week. So I might need to sit down in a little while or whatever, because it's quite unusual for me to be like that. Normally in praise and worship, Hannah would tell you, I'm always standing up and I'm right into it. So forgive me. But, you know, I'm here tonight and I'm just really excited to share with you, because what we were singing, how great is our God. And we are family of God together. I know you don't know me, but I can really sense that family of God together, that oneness of heart together. And I just want to, first of all, just start by saying thank you to you all for being such a great community here. It's just amazing. We've only been here once or twice visiting, but already we can sense the community that you are and how you help one another and how you reach into the community. It's amazing. I think, like today, for instance, I mean, what a day, Teresa. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's not only Teresa. So many people have been pouring out all day serving the community. And just thank you, because that is a true example of praise. That is an example of praise right there. Because why, Alex asked me to talk about why and how do we praise? I'm going to just ask you to do something right now. And now you're thinking, oh my goodness, no. What's that stupid woman going to ask me to do now? But we were just singing, how great is our God. Why don't you just turn to somebody next to you or behind you or close to you and just say to them why you think God is great? Does anybody in here think God is great? Yeah, great. There's a few of us in here. We do. That's brilliant. Why didn't you just tell someone alongside you or behind you, you know, God is great because... Go, 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 go. God is great because... Now, I know that's a little bit dangerous, hey, to get everybody talking straight away. Is that a little bit dangerous? But did that encourage you? Because that certainly encouraged me. I was talking to someone about God being so great and so vast and so huge. God is so enormous, so huge. We can't really comprehend the immensity of God. And yet God has time for each and every one of us. He's interested in every detail of our lives. Isn't that amazing? He's interested in every little part that we do, everything that we do. And you know, when we come to praise and worship, I think it's about the way we view and the way we see God really affects how we come into praise and worship. I liked what Alex was saying in the beginning. We maybe come in three different ways into it. Well, you know, God's going to have to move me because I'm not moving myself. Anybody been there? Have you guys been there? Yeah, I'm sure you have. I think we've all been there. I'm going to have to sit down, I'm afraid. My legs play me up here. We've all been there. I'm not going to do anything. God, you've got to move me. And then sometimes God does come and move you, and other times God doesn't, because he's waiting for us. Because God wants to work with us. God is so intent on working with us. So God is waiting patiently for us. You know, the psalmist says, praise waits for you, O God, in Zion. So God is waiting for our praise. That's incredible. The God who created everything is dependent on us to give him praise. That's incredible. Why would God make himself dependent on his creation? But that's the very thing he's done. Because he's become in union with us. He's joined with us. And he's part with us. See, the other thing I think sometimes in praise and worship, we see God as afar off. And we're not good enough to come close to God. And we we maybe stand in front of, oh, I haven't had a very good week this week, you know. I've been so full of sin this week. I've not been very forgiving. I've not been reading my Bible. I've not prayed enough. Anybody else been there? And you come to the praise and worship, you think, oh, I can't sing today. I'm just not good enough, you know. And, you know, they all know what I'm like in the house. There's no way I can just do that. What's God's perspective? Can anybody tell me? How does God look on us when we come with that mindset? Is that God's mindset towards us? Never. It's never his mindset. Absolutely, you're right. What is God's mindset to us? Don't you just love the story of the prodigal son? I love the story of the prodigal son. Because we have the picture of the father who allowed the son, who was like having a bit of a pout, wasn't he? He was having a bit of a, we say Mardy. Do you know Mardy, that word, Mardy? I know I'm in England now, so I have to have different words down here. See, I also like to work together because I think I don't have all the answers. I think we together have the mind of Christ. So I like us to communicate and share a little bit. Is that okay? So what was I saying? The prodigal son. This father allowed the son, who was having a little bit of a mar, to go off and explore. And yes, you go off and, you know, that's fine, and let him go. I find sometimes we have a bit of a problem with that. When people go off or people want to do things their own way, we're always trying to get them back online, aren't we? You need to do this. You should be doing that. You should be doing the other. Did we see the father and the prodigal son doing that? What did the father do? Do you know what? The father was so confident that the love that he had towards that son would draw that son back. He just let him go. Just let him go and find his own way. And immediately the son came back, the father ran towards him. There was no, I knew you'd come back, didn't I tell you? You were only going to go and do that. You were only this, that, and the other. There was none of that. There was just an embrace. I just love that. We can go wrong, we can do all the wrong things, but the Father's love towards us is so immense and so big. It covers all of our wrongdoing, all of our sin, or all the things in our mind that we say we're not good enough. It covers it, and the Father just comes and embraces us and draws us in and loves us. That's enough to praise him, isn't it? You know, the Word of God talks about how praise changes an atmosphere. And I just think tonight in Sidcup, you are changing the atmosphere of Sidcup by just coming together and praising God. What did the children of Israel have to do when they were going to take Jericho, the first city or town, whatever it was? Was it a city? Was it a town? What was that? Does it matter? It was something. They were going into the promised land and they were going to take that place. The first thing they had to do was walk around it 7 times. To me, that was a declaration of who God was. Walking around, not shouting. Praise doesn't always mean shouting. Not standing on the chairs, waving. I like to do that sometimes. I'm a bit mad. I'm not doing it right now, that's for sure. Oh dear, there you go. Praise looks different at different times. So this time they're walking around quietly around the city. But it's a declaration that their God is bigger, that their God is going to bring a deliverance. And I really believe that in what you're doing here in Sidcup, in your praise, God inhabits the praises of his people. You're making a declaration in this place. God is in this place. God will fill this place. And you might come and do it quietly. Then at the end of the 7 days, they did come with a shout, didn't they? They came with a loud shout and the walls fell down. Something changed in the atmosphere because there was praise of the people of God. You are making a difference. Don't stop. Just keep on making that difference. And then I think about the story. I'm going to pinch one of my husband's stories. He likes to do the story in Luke chapter 7, which talks about Jesus healing the widow of Nain's son. Hannah might have heard this story before, I don't know. So, can you picture? Do you know what we like to do is to imagine, paint the picture of what was going on? Because I don't know about you, sometimes when we read the Bible, we kind of read it a bit flat, but God wants us to bring it up off the page and make it alive and living so we can almost step into that picture, that scene that was being painted. So you had this picture of the woman whose son had died, and they are walking in a funeral procession coming towards the city, or yeah, somewhere either towards the city or away from the city. They were outside of the city anyway. You can go home and read it for your homework to correct my wrong bits, okay? So that, can you imagine, what is a funeral procession? It said that they were people with her in the funeral procession. Have you ever been in a funeral procession? It's a bit somber. There's not a lot of shouting. And you know what? They were probably paid mourners there because that was the custom of the day. So there would have been people there who were paid to be weeping and crying. If you're paid to weep and cry, you probably do it quite enthusiastically, do you think? Have we got any good weepers or mourners in here tonight? So this was one band of people that were walking this way, okay? Imagine, picture the scene, the sadness, the death that had taken place, and the woman. And then coming in the other direction was Jesus and the disciples. But they were coming in a totally different frame of mind. Because if you read what had just happened previously to that encounter, it says that Jesus had caused the centurion's servant to be healed. So and do you know what it said? Jesus said of the centurion, so he said, Jesus was amazed at the faith that he found in the centurion's servant. Have you ever come across anyone who's been amazed? They keep telling you about it, don't they? Have you heard about, did you know? Have you seen, did you know that Jesus just healed that, and he didn't even have to go to the house? I'm sounding very Welsh now, I know. It's because I'm getting excited. I might even have to try standing up again. He didn't even have to go to the house. He just said the word, and the servant was healed. So there's this band of disciples. My husband likes rugby, okay? He's Welsh. So can you imagine, was it last Saturday when Wales... Oh, sorry. Wales beat England. Woohoo! He was very excited. And that's sometimes how we sometimes need to stir up that excitement in us for the what God's done for us. Because what God has done for us is amazing, isn't it? He's taken us from the place where we think we are rubbish to the place where he says, I put my life inside you. I've transformed all that wrong thinking. I've taken it away from you. And I've clothed you with Christ. I've made you one with me. It's amazing what God has done for us. And he wants us sometimes to get a bit excited about that. So these disciples, they were amazed when they saw what Jesus had done for the centurion servant. And they're walking this way, coming to the town. Oh, did you see what Jesus... It's amazing. I'm so glad I'm with this Jesus. I'm so glad. Oh, all these people are following us. It's so good. And then all of a sudden, they meet death coming the other way. What I want to say to us tonight is there's some praise changes the situation. Here's a situation of death. Sometimes you may feel that your whole scenario, everything you're facing is going downhill. It's not a good situation that you're in. Everything is not looking good. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your relationships, whatever it might be. But there's this thing that's bringing you down, bringing you low, and maybe causing you to weep, maybe causing you to be depressed. And all of a sudden, there's life coming at you in the other direction. And God says, if you will allow me to, I want to transform that situation of death. I want to transform that situation that's bringing you down and cause you to know what it is to step into my life. And as Jesus stepped forward with this whole band of disciples that were so enthusiastic and full of life, he touched the coffin and the boy came back to life. Praise can change a situation. Sometimes we don't feel like praising because our situations can feel so oppressive and feel as if it's pressing us down. We have to know what it is to allow that deep well of God that's on the inside of us to be untapped and allow that spring. You know, the word of God says it's like a spring of life on the inside of us. Allow that spring of life to spring up so that it'll overtake our mind and our thinking and bring life into those dead places, those places of death that rule our minds. Allow that spring of life. Let praise transform it. Does that make sense to anyone? I really believe what you're doing here in this place, in Sidcup, is to transform the place and bring life to where God, situations that have been death and situations that have been dire, maybe in depression, God wants to change. There's a song that I really like to sing. I don't know if you guys know, it's called The Holy Overshadowing. You might not know, it's by Graham Kendrick, wrote the song. It's called Holy Overshadowing. And it's about, even in difficult situations, there's this overshadowing of God. God spoke to me not so long ago about living in the shadows. Sometimes situations in life feel as if they crowd in on you and you feel as if you're in a dark place in the shadows. But you know, in Psalm 91, it's quite clear, isn't it? He who dwells in the shadow of the Most High. Now, how does it go? Come on, who can quote it for me? Anybody can quote that? There's a Bible there. There is a Bible there. Oh, come on, somebody find it, yeah. But anyway, while she's looking for that, picture this. The shadow of God is greater than any shadow that we might find ourselves under. Because the shadow of God is bigger and greater. You know, it says about Peter, when Peter walked the streets, his shadow caused people who came into under his shadow were healed. Did you know that? People, do you think that was really the shadow of Peter? I would so love to walk down the street, you know, and my shadow just here, people there were like, oh my goodness, I feel so much better. Oh my word, I just don't know what's going on. And they burst out into happiness and joy. It's okay, come on. Hello. They burst out into joy and happiness. But you know what it is? The shadow of Peter, it was the shadow of the Almighty God. Because in him was God. And so when he's walking, what is the word of God? As he is, so am I in the world. So as we walk in union, in being one with God, as we walk being one with God, the shadow of God is cast. That's incredible. It's incredible that God would allow that to happen. And it doesn't matter how good we feel. It doesn't matter whether we've done things right or wrong. What does it say? He who dwells in the shadow of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Lord. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Lord. Yeah. Anyway, I think it would be good. I'm not going to say any more, I think, much tonight. I think it would be good for you to think about the shadow of God. I looked into shadows. There are four different pictures of shadows in the Bible. There's a picture, the shadow of his wing, the shadow of his hand, the shadow of a tree, and what is the fourth one? Shadow of his wing, a tree, his hand. Wing, hand, I've forgotten the fourth one now because that wasn't what I was going to talk about tonight. It just came into my mind. You'll have to look it up. But God has got a place covering us. And under that safe place, we can minister. And God pours out himself, so we are to pour ourselves out. So how do we praise? We praise quietly. We praise extravagantly. Can you think of a person who, it says she, oh, I'm giving you a clue, she praised extravagantly. Can you think whom that might be in the New Testament? Mary washed the feet of Jesus, praised extravagantly. In fact, the disciples berated her. What do you think you're doing? There's a place for extravagant praise. You know, one of the things I'm learning in life right now is to try and be less judgmental. Sometimes we see it, maybe in like the disciples right there, they saw that picture of extravagant praise. And the first thing was to bring judgment. Let's not judge people in how they praise. They may praise quietly. Let's not judge that. They may have to sit down. Let's not judge that. They may want to stand on the chair and wave a flag. Let's not judge that. They may want to light a candle and say a prayer. Catholic Church, let's not judge that. God is causing me to see through new eyes and to say, God, like the prodigal son's father, didn't judge him. He just received him and welcomed him and allowed that embrace of God to go out. So my journey right now is, let's not judge one another in the way that we praise, but let's make room for all types of praise. Praise him in the heights, praise him in the low, praise him with a shout. What is this? There's so many in Psalms. I had lots of scriptures written down, and I was going to get people to maybe read scriptures, but I don't feel to do that because I think you can go away and do that yourself. Praise him with the timbrel, praise him with the dance. Praise him with the dance. Oh my goodness, that's a little bit shocking. How about David? Danced with all his might. Stripped off to dance. Oh my goodness, that is very shocking. Would we be judging? Oh my goodness, I think I might. Lord, help us. Father, I pray that you will cause this place to be a demonstration of your grace and your mercy. That, Lord, this place will be a place of praise, a place of breakthrough, a place where life will break through darkness, a place where you will grow from strength to strength and the neighborhoods would be changed and transformed by the light and the life that is seen. Lord, let your love shine through this place. Let judgment disappear, O God, and let light and life flood and fill every heart and soul. Let lives be transformed in this city, O God. Change this place because we have chosen to become like you. Let your praise arise in this place, O God. There's another psalm, isn't there, that says, let praise, let his enemies be scattered. Lord, let your enemies be scattered and let praise arise. Amen. Bless you. Thank you for listening to me.